This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And never has Islam flourished in a land except that there were local indigenous scholars who led the change and who led that torch to the next generation. And never has Islam faltered, never has Islam dwindled, except that we find that there was no scholarship to pass that religion down. And I give you two examples from our own world that we live in. Two living countries, two examples that some of us have visited. I have only visited one of these two lands, but I have friends from both of them. And these two examples are South America and South Africa. And by South America, I mean Argentina, Brazil, a number of countries, and South Africa. At the turn of the century, both of these lands experienced large batches of Muslim immigrants for the first time in their histories. Large batches of Muslim immigrants. People came from the Ottoman empires to South America. From what is now Syria and these lands, they came to South America. And people came from India, because the British obviously were in charge of India and they were also in charge of South America and South Africa. And they wanted to import a group of educated people to act as clerics, as secretaries, as indentured servants. So they imported tens of thousands of Indians, and of course Indians, as we know, have a huge percentage of Muslims. So around 100 years ago, large batches of Muslims came to South America and large batches came to South Africa. Now, 100 years later, if you go to South America, I have not been blessed to give da'wah in South America, I haven't been there yet, but I have plenty of friends and I have heard this firsthand from many people. You will find that the people who immigrated to those lands, the Muslims, by and large, their descendants have left Islam. Their masajids are empty. The impact that they had was completely negligible. And there is no greater indication for this than that the previous president of Argentina, or by now I think it's two presidents ago, the president of Argentina, his great-grandfather was a Syrian Muslim who immigrated for opportunity, for a land, for whatnot, but they didn't keep that tradition down. And he was of Arab blood, of Muslim background and heritage, but when politics called, he felt no need to protect a faith that was not protected for him by his own parents. And he readily renounced his religion when he was a teenager, as soon as he entered politics, until finally he entered and he became the president of Argentina. Now, contrast this to South Africa. And I have visited South Africa. I've been given da'wah in South Africa. South Africa is worlds apart. Anybody who's been to South Africa is simply astonished at the Islamic presence. You see Muslims flourishing. You see, mashallah, tabarakallah, Muslims everywhere, in the businesses. Somebody told me that in the city of Johannesburg, all of the chicken there is halal because the Muslims are the one running the businesses. All of the chicken you buy will be halal. Even though the Muslims are less than, 3-4%? They're not like 20-30%. They're a small minority, right? I went to the department stores. Looks just like an American department store. But one out of every four or five is, mashallah, a bearded, thobes, a hijabi. You know, all you see the presence of Islam. And I met, when I was in South Africa, I met one of the eldest ladies that was still, mashallah, tabarakallah, an activist, a speaker and whatnot. She was 93 years old. She was 93 years old, and she was born in South Africa. Her father was the one who immigrated. 93 years old. And this itself is, I think, 4 years ago I went to South Africa. So I asked her point blank, what is the cause of your success? I said, I'm astonished. We don't see this type of Islam even in America. And you people have lost the language. They came from Gujarat and they don't speak the language anymore, right? You've lost the heritage. You don't know which land you came from. You don't know which village you came from. By the way, they preserved the spices, alhamdulillah. The food, spices was there, right? But they lost everything else. But their Islam, mashallah, tabarakallah, was flourishing. So I asked her, what is the secret of the success of Islam in South Africa? instantaneously. You know what she told me? 93-year-old lady, sharp, very intelligent. She said, the madrasas. She said, the madrasas. When I was a young girl, my father would send us to the madrasa. I said, you're a young lady, you're a girl. And in our culture, Indian Pakistani culture, girls don't go to the madrasas. And I am positive that your father, when he grew up in India, he had never heard of a girl going to a madrasa. And she said, yes, but he realized that that's our only way to preserve Islam. Even now, that's what you call foresightedness. That is what you call thinking outside of the box. In his own culture, to this day in our land, women don't go to the masjid, as we know. Women don't go to madrasas. To this day, they're still that narrow-minded. But this lady's father, when he came to South Africa, he realized we got to change. And we have to teach our children the religion. And South Africa is the only Western country in the world that produces qurra, reciters of the Quran, that are capable of participating in and winning international Quran competitions. The only Western country in the world that has madrasas that rival many of the madrasas and Islamic seminaries in other places around the world. Why and how? Because not too long ago, it was only 100 years ago, less than 100. I mean, realistically, the actual madrasas probably started 80 years ago, right? But they realized they needed to preserve their legacy for their children.
فيا ذلي ويا خجلي إذا ما قال لي ربي أما استحييته تعصيني ولا تخشى من العتب وتخفي الذنب عن خلقي وتأبى في الهوى قربي فتب مما جنيت عسى تعود إلى رضا الرب تعود إلى رضا الرب.